It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on The Drive. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. Time for the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by MyBookie. What's the NFL game tonight? Do we know?
Dolphins-Jags.
And Dolphins.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
That game broke out in my backyards. I'd shut the blinds, man. I mean, good grief. Can't do it better than... All right. You could play some action on it. I mean, that'd make it more entertaining, right? If you have a little money on it, go to MyBookie, do that. We have a college game?
Yes, we do. South Alabama versus UAB.
Of course.
Trey Wallace is in heaven right now, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be watching South Alabama with $100 on the Jaguars to cover the spread tonight on the edge of his seat. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Hit it, Bear.
Thank you, Russell. Number one, the story of the day in Knoxville. Tennessee head football coach Jeremy Pruitt received a 2-year extension to his contract along with a $400,000 a year raise.
Big Germ, cashing in. Let's see what the results of the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot poll question are. Okay, almost 400 votes cast now. 60.5% say it's a great move. 29.7% say it's no opinion. 9.8% say dumb move. So a very, very small minority. I wouldn't say it's a dumb move. It's a puzzling move to me. I should have added that as an option. It's puzzling. I feel like that's a word that... a description that needs to be brought back. Maya, I find your behavior today puzzling, Bear.
My behavior?
Yes.
I've been perfectly normal and stable today. Number two, Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver DJ Chark has been ruled out for the Miami Dolphins with a chest back injury. This seems to be the big story to me in the NFL this season, Russ, is the rash of injuries in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, usually that's one of the hard parts of watching the NFL is, I mean, that's not uncommon, but usually it's like the first week and then they settle in. But, you know, part of not having a very long physical preseason, with four preseason games, and I think you have to be a little worried about that if you're a college coach as well. And from the looks and sounds of it, according to Trey, they're doing a lot of walkthrough type practicing, not a lot of hitting this week. So, knock on wood, hopefully we stay healthy.
All right.
By the way, Karnes Campbell County is your high school game on TV tonight. No word on any sort of line on that on my bookie.
Could you refrain from interjecting any headline type material? I mean, would that be too much to ask out of you? You're doing that thing you do again. You promised me you weren't going to do this anymore.
I did not promise anything. No, absolutely not. That's incorrect.
All right. Well, you go ahead and take over, buddy. You're on number three.
All right. Number three, Karnes Campbell County tonight, East Tennessee high school football action on my VLT. It'll be a Mark Packer, Austin Price affair. Be there. Number four, Alex Gordon of the Riles. No, cut him off. Cut him off. He gave it to me. I'm taking it. You just sit back and watch how it's done. Just sit back and listen how it's done. Pull him down. Pull him down. I'll walk over there and do it if I have to. All right, here I come. I'm turning you off, Bear. 3, 2, 1, boom. All right. Number three.
Oh, my God.
Royals outfielder Alex Gordon, whose roller coaster career took him from near bust to all-star and gold glove winner, will retire after the season. He said during a Zoom news conference today that the pandemic reinforced his feelings that he wants to spend more time with his family and catch up on the things I've missed my whole life. Alex Gordon, we hardly knew ye. I say good luck. Good luck, young man. And finally, number five, John Gruden met Cam Newton in 2011 as part of his QB Camp series for ESPN. Who can forget that episode? What a classic it was. Timely to revisit with Gruden's Las Vegas Raiders facing Newton and the Patriots on Sunday, Gillette Stadium, says, quote, "I haven't seen many guys walk through my doors like that that look like Cam. I call him Slam Newton," Gruden said to Patriots reporters as he met with the media today. You know what else Gruden said?
I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
That's your top five at five. That's how you do it, Bear. That's how you deliver a stellar top five at five.
Blah, 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 blah.
Perfection. Blah,
blah, blah. You're an idiot. You're a control freak, man. Well, go ahead and do it every day then.
I won't deny that. Oh, don't be mad. It's just a radio show. It's just a stupid radio show.
Mm-hmm.
What were your other two stories?
I don't know. What were yours? I hung up.
My bookie.
Tell Drew not to ever cut me off again.
.ag. Don't ever cut him off again, Drew. That was very, very rude of you.
That was not me. Get out of here. I had no involvement in that whatsoever. This is fake news.
You can't stand over there, Drew. As soon as he walks away, you turn it back on.
All right.
Got the ball.
MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid with my bookie. What's the line on your South Alabama Jaguars tonight, Traisky?
We're sitting at, tickets plus seven. So, yeah, we're plus seven tonight.
Yeah, that's not
too bad.
Where's
the game at?
Mobile.
Really?
Yes.
Mighty UAB is making the trip down to Mobile?
Yeah, why not? Bring it on. That's already hosted Tulane.
Wow. Oh.
And tonight we win.
You still owe me $10, by the way, Wallace.
Okay, well, send me your Venmo account.
You have Apple Pay, you can just text it to me.
I don't do Apple Pay, sorry. I'm not giving the bots my credit card information.
Jaguars catching three tonight at home against Miami. I think Jacksonville's pretty good. Or is that just something I'm telling myself as a Titans fan to dull the...
Jacksonville's hot garbage, man.
Oh, no.
They almost beat the Titans.
Yeah, like I said, they're hot garbage.
USB.
And they have a bad call to help them at the end.
Bad call.
Yeah, you know when Davion Clowney lined up in the Jaguars' backfield and they didn't call offsides on him? Asterix.
Please. Referees didn't make Simmons jump up, bat that ball in the air. Harold Landry pull in the interception.
Mm-hmm.
Referees didn't cause Gardner Minshew to grow that horrible mustache.
You also get the Lakers tonight if you're into that.
Are they going to sweep that series?
No, they lost last night, didn't they?
Oh.
I'll tell you, we don't talk about the NBA.
Yes, Trey.
Y'all know what anniversary is today as well?
I feel like I saw this.
Yeah, you did.
Is it a sports?
Yes, it is. 8 years ago today in Seattle, Washington.
Today in Seattle, 2012.
It's the Packers-Seahawks game, replacement refs?
Fail Mary.
The Fail Mary?
Yeah.
Who can forget?
One guy calls it interception, one guy calls it a touchdown.
Who can forget the Fail Mary? That's a hard job, man, being an NFL official. It's a hard job being a college official. I want to try and be – that's a voluntary reaction, new season resolution of mine. Try and be nicer to the officials. They're human beings. They're doing the best they can.
Do you still claim that if we lose Saturday night, you're not doing it?
Oh, I'm doing it. It's a Titans pregame show. All Titans all the time, baby. What's the line of the Titans-Vikings game, Drew? What are we about, a 14-point favorite on the road?
I think we're like 8.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems obscenely high.
No, they went all the way down, actually. We're only 2.5-point favorites.
That's probably
which is ridiculous.
More accurate.
Give me the Vikings.
Road game in the NFL. Trey's taking the Vikings makes me feel a whole lot better based on his recent track record. No offense, Trey.
That's okay. No, it's all good.
I thought the Lakers won the last game. Anthony Davis hit a crazy three, right? And he yelled Kobe.
They're up 2-1 in the series.
Who's winning the other series?
God, that one's almost – I think they're – aren't the Heat up like 2-1 on
– This has been NBA Talk on the Drive, brought to you by three guys who have no
idea
what they're talking about.
I'm sorry. Cal Alexander and the Miami Heat are up 3-1 in the series over Grant Williams and the Celtics.
You throw that ball to Kyle Alexander down on the block, guaranteed buckets. It's what I always say. Should have gotten more touches when he was here. Grant and Admiral hogging the spotlight. I did always say, Bear, you'll back me up on that. I always said, Kyle Alexander, if he gets in the right spot, continues to develop, put on weight, he could be a nice NBA player.
One of your few takes that was correct, Russ, yes.
Oh, come on. First of all, that take has not been proven correct yet. I'm not going to claim victory on that after one season. But second of all, I think you sell me a little short.
Not really.
What do you guys think, for those of you just joining us, a lot of talk in hour number one, heated conversation on the Drive this afternoon about the raise and extension for Jeremy Pruitt. My initial thought when I saw the news was, that's really weird, because this came out of left field. Nobody was expecting this today. And my initial thought was, man, that is really tone deaf. With everything going on right now, COVID, people out of work, the economy continuing to contract, you're going to give a football coach a $400,000 raise, a football coach who, I mean, if we're being honest, really has not accomplished much so far in 2 years of coaching. A coach we like, I think we all like, and certainly I'm pulling for Jeremy Pruitt. Hope he does very well. But just calmly analyzing his first 2 years here, you would have to say it's been about a while. He's had some good moments, to be sure. He's had some really bad moments, too. My initial thought was it's not a very good look. But I thought that we had an interesting thought during Philly's phone call, which is if you're going to do it, and you were going to do it before COVID, and nobody would have had much of a problem with it, then COVID hit, and you're just not going to do it. If you're still going to do it, there's really no good time to announce it. So maybe you do just go ahead and announce it now.
Announce it after you beat Georgia.
Well, there's certainly no guarantee that's going to happen. Your thoughts, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotline this afternoon, 546-8200, your number to get on the Drive. So you've got that, the big story in Big Orange Country today. Cade Mays, it is 5:13 p.m. Thursday before the game. We are now approaching under 50 hours till kickoff. Still no ruling on the Cade Mays situation. After a brief, Greg Sankey must have seen a shadow during that interview yesterday, because he's gone back into hiding. Jeremy Pruitt yesterday is still talking like it might happen. He's clearly frustrated, but says they need to know something before Friday. So it sounds like it's a no, but it's not an official no. And as we said yesterday over there at Old Ben Franklin Motors, this has officially devolved into an absurd situation. So those are the two big stories. Oh, by the way, there's also a game Saturday, Tennessee, South Carolina, 7:30 in Williams-Brice Stadium. Let's get D.R. Vall in here this afternoon. Good afternoon, D.R. Vall. You're on the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
He literally just left.
We have lost D.R. Vall.
D.R. Vall.
Drew's a little flustered right now.
All right.
left his mic on. It's all good.
Yeah, he did.
We worked through this, though. Let's try this again. D.R. Vol is back with us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, D.R. Vol.
Sorry about that, Russ. I was just sharpening my pitchfork just in case it goes sour Saturday after they announced that extension today.
We'll be ready to riot Saturday. I'm planning on sleeping in a little bit in anticipation of a late night on Voluntary Reaction. Should kick off around 11 or so here on Fan Run Radio. I'm hoping for a triumphant, glorious, happy, joy-filled Voluntary Reaction to kick off the season. But I'm prepared for the other thing as well. Always prepared. That's my motto.
Yeah, but you don't have to get – what is it? You don't have to get prepared if you stay prepared. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of, unfortunately, battered ball syndrome. But if it goes bad Saturday, and I don't think it will, but if it does, man, Barstool's going to be able to write a book on the phone calls you're going to get.
We might be here until the sun comes up. Houston and I will be staggering out of the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios as the sun begins to peek up from behind the clouds here in East Tennessee. That's what I need. Ruin my sleep patterns for the entire next week.
Yeah, and you know what Trey just said? I kind of thought that earlier. At least wait till we win a game or two this year, don't you think? I mean, it's going to be tone deaf regardless. Ultimately, him getting an extension doesn't affect me for nothing. But at least get a W in or two before you announce that, wouldn't you think?
That would be, yeah, I mean, that would be preferable, I think, if I'm Philip Fulmer. I want to be coming off of something. I mean, you kind of put yourself out there, right? I mean, it's, and you know, that'll be the storyline from the Legions of the Miserable, as Johnny Majors called them, if things go badly Saturday night. Oh, man, you gave him a raise, and he turns around and repays you like this. 3 years in a row, his team wasn't ready to play. You know what the calls are going to be before they even happen.
Oh, yeah, but see, they win either way, because if this works out, we're winning. If it don't, they've got ammunition to, you know, gripe and complain.
Well, I hate to even bring this up, D.R. Ball, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misreading the situation. It's happened before. It feels like, Trey, Bear, D.R. Ball, y'all tell me, I sense a tension in the air. And I've sensed it for a couple of weeks now. If this thing goes badly, and let me be perfectly clear, I don't see any way Philip Fulmer fires his coach this year. It's COVID 2020. This year should be a write-off. But I know this fan base, and they're not going to – a 3-7 is not going to go down well. It's not going to go down well. And I just feel a tension in the air, D.R. Vol. You lose Saturday night, I think it's going to get ugly around here.
You know, it's funny you said that, Russ, because I just saw today, it wasn't my bookies. I don't know who it was, but on one betting site, Pruitt's got the third best odds to get fired first.
Oh.
Yeah, behind Derek Mason and Will Muschamp. He's next.
Well, at least he's not ahead of those guys, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, we'll see. D.R. Vol, we got to run. Taylor Zarzer coming up here in just a minute. Great to hear from you. But let's live in our hopes. Let's live in our hopes, D.R. Vol.
Hey, man, stay positive until we have to get negative. And if so, I'll be calling.
If we have to burn it down, we've always got the blowtorches handy here at Fan Run Radio. You know that. Have a great night, D.R. Vol. Quick timeout. Taylor Zarzer of ESPN coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Berry, Trey Cruz along with you on a Thursday afternoon. Pleased to be joined by Taylor Zarzer on the G3 Help Me Hotline. He's with the SEC Network. He'll be on the play-by-play call for the Vols in Carolina on Saturday in Columbia. Taylor, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing excellent. I would imagine Jeremy Pruitt is just thrilled every time he sees your name, if he looks at such things, beginning of game week.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of finally caught on to it, I think, by the time we got to the last South Carolina game, which was, of course, the beginning of the winning streak. And he said, I understand that you could run for mayor in this town. Now, listen, some of these games were Tennessee Tech and UT Chattanooga, You know, so I don't know if you guys want to count those or not, but Gamecocks, Mississippi State, called the Indiana game on the radio, called a South Carolina that overtime win. I guess that was 4 years ago in Columbia, called that one. So there's been some good SEC Power 5 opponents in there, and it seems like for whatever reason the Vols have been on the right side of these games every time I show up. But, you know, when you start paying attention to these things, that's when it seems like your luck runs out. So I don't know what that means. I know that 2 years ago I was in the notes because Gamecocks fans thought I was their lucky charm. So you just never know.
Well, Taylor, it's been such a rough 12 years around here. We count everything. If you called a Tennessee win, if you called a Tennessee win against DeVry, we'd be counting it up here. So it's what are you up to? You're like 9-0 all time, and then maybe 3 or 4-0 under Pruitt.
I think that's right. Yeah, which is crazy, by the way. Like, I didn't think about it until my man Trey Wallace, aka intern Trey. We're both from Mobile, and he was my intern a million years ago. And he started doing the math and said, I don't think the Vols ever have lost when you're. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, gosh. You're right, but yeah, in the Pruitt era especially, some of these wins have been significant and certainly important to go from a program that thought they'd be looking for a new coach at some point in the middle of last season to a guy that now got a huge contract extension.
Well, this has got to be exciting for you. I mean, in my mind, this and the Auburn-Kentucky game are the two kind of – I don't know, marquee matchup, but these should be on paper anyway, the best and closest games of what is otherwise not a very illustrious opening weekend in this bizarre SEC season we're about to embark on. So you got one of the good ones.
Yeah, I really think so. And Matt Stinchcomb, my analyst, who is just the best, he really thinks so too. I mean, he thinks that we have the game of the week, at least on paper, that this could go down to the wire. And we were this excited to call it last year, and obviously for a half it was so dramatic and back and forth before the Vols took it to the Gamecocks, who just had no gas left in the second half. But yeah, we do, and I think part of the reason we feel that way is, you know, I'm looking at my board right now to call the game on Saturday, and there are so many returning players on both sides of the ball for these teams. Now, Javon Kinlaw was a first-round draft pick, a defensive lineman for South Carolina, but going into the season, Will Muschamp says this is the most experience and is too deep he's had since he's been the head coach of the Gamecocks. And then on the flip side, Juwan Jennings had such a remarkable season for the Vols, and replacing him won't be easy, but you look everywhere around that position and you see experience, especially on the offensive line. That has been such a problem for the Vols in recent years, and now I think they have one of the best offensive lines in the Southeastern Conference. So this is a matchup of two experienced teams, and you're not going to get a whole lot of that in the SEC, especially at the beginning of the year.
Hey, Taylor, it's intern Trey, and you know, appreciate you coming on. And when you look, we talked a lot about the offensive line this week, buddy, and we're sitting here on a Thursday, it's 5:30. Tennessee has not heard anything about Cade Mays. And I want to get your opinion. If Tennessee travels to Columbia without Cade Mays and he's not starting, is it that huge of a drop-off for a game against South Carolina or a game like against Missouri? Or is it something that Tennessee can plug in, you know, a Carvin, a K'Ron Calvert, something like that to be able to make up for it? What is your thoughts on this whole mess and then where Tennessee's offensive line's at?
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly Cade Mays is an extremely talented player, and you would rather have him on the field. But at the beginning of the season, given how little contact that these teams have had, given just, I think, how much rust you're going to see in the running game and in tackling, I don't know that it's going to make that big a difference, especially when you've got a guy like Calvert, who is an experienced player, who's been in the system for a couple of years now and has had a whole lot of reps out there. So, I don't know that the drop-off would be that significant. I think as the season goes along, where teams are much more of well-oiled machines, that you would see a guy like Mays make a bigger impact. But aside from whatever people think about the kind of difference he would make in the game, this is ludicrous that we're sitting here on a Thursday And we don't know the answer to that. It's ludicrous that South Carolina had a player that's ineligible a couple of days ago. In this day and age, for the NCAA to still make these teams go through a game week and not know if you have certain players is absolutely ridiculous. And this has got to end. We've got to get to a point where we know the answers to these questions long before these teams are prepping for a game week. It's one thing to not know if you're going to have all of your players due to a pandemic. It's another thing when you have the NCAA have plenty of time to make a decision about this and be able to get back to a player quickly. And, you know, I'm biased, I guess, towards the players. I think that barring significant academic impropriety, I think in this day and age, you should be eligible to play. And maybe 5-10 years ago, we all would have felt differently about amateurism than we do now. But I think that the fact that the NCAA is still judging things in a kind of an archaic way and waiting to the last minute to make these decisions is really frustrating for a lot of us that love college football.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt talked about it last night during his press conference, Taylor. He said, look, if it's good enough for the NCAA and he should play, then he should be able to play in his opinion. And you know, like last night, I think he put all of his chips in during his press conference. And I would be interested, and it's kind of the same thing with Joey Gatewood at Kentucky. You've got Otis Reese at Ole Miss. Is this something where, you know, Greg Sankey spoke yesterday and he used the whole, look, the ADs voted on it. If y'all wanted to change it, we could have been changing it in years past. Is that him saying that, okay, I'm potentially not doing this thing, we're going to wait for the new rules to go in 2021? Or is that something where, okay, we might not get a decision this week, maybe we get one next week or the week after?
Yeah, and again, and I know in the case of Mays, as you just said, he was ruled eligible by the NCAA and he's waiting for this SEC waiver. I guess my bigger point is that I think that there should be one governing body in all of college football. And I know that I'm sure you guys have talked about this ad nauseum. The fact that there's each conference is doing it differently in this day and age is kind of frustrating. And the fact that he would need clearance from the NCAA and clearance from the SEC just doesn't make much sense to me. I think that you should have one governing body. I think that they should be not only open-minded, but I think they should be sensible and reasonable, and they should make the decision, and it shouldn't have several different layers. Now, if the kid has done something wrong at the school and the coach or the athletic director wants to say, well, he can't play because he hasn't met our standards, then that's always going to be fine. But outside of that, I think that there really should only be one set of jurisdiction to go through, if you will. And it's kind of frustrating that we're sitting here on a Thursday and we don't know if Cade Mays is going to be eligible for the game. But we've been down this road before with just about every team, and you mentioned it's not only Tennessee that's dealing with this, it's Kentucky as well.
Taylor, we had a conversation in Jacksonville about Jarrett Garantano, and we had it before the game, and we just kind of talked about how things had gone the previous 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden, you know, he leads a comeback, beats Indiana. It was kind of like the same thing. It was comeback after comeback, besides that game at Missouri where I think they just really took over and he played so well. I want to get your opinion on Garantano going into this season, having the same offensive coordinator, having the same quarterback coach in Chris Winkie. How much is that going to help him, in your mind, from the way you saw him last year to compare to what we have this year with Tennessee football?
I mean, this is, you couldn't sell a movie in Hollywood with this script on how many twists and turns Jarrett Garantano has had with his own teammates, his own coaching staff, his own fan base, and the fact that now he has had this complete resurrection and 180 from a guy that went rogue and did what he did in Tuscaloosa last year to a guy that is now unquestionably the starting quarterback of the team and the leader of the team. It's crazy how many times he came off the bench in that winning streak to win six straight, given what he did in Tuscaloosa. And I was there the next week. I was there when he apologized to the team. I was there when Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt wanted to go with a different quarterback but didn't think that they – the other quarterbacks gave them a chance to win, but they also wanted Garantano to prove to his teammates that he showed remorse and that he was not going to do anything selfish again. And to go from that moment and to completely hold yourself accountable the way that he did, to the point that he's now the starting quarterback of the Vols, and he's still on campus, which I'm not sure any of us expected, it's an amazing story. To your point about Jim Chaney, I think that that is a huge feather in Jarrett Garantano's hat, to have the same offensive coordinator for consecutive seasons for the first time in his Tennessee career. And I would expect big things from him at the start of the season. Now, it's important that he doesn't force the envelope and try to do things he's not capable of doing, which was the big mistake he was making early in the season last year, if Tennessee is going to get this victory in Columbia on Saturday night. But there's no question there is far more confidence and trust in Garantano and Garantano in Chaney going into the season. And if I'm a Vols fan, that would give me some confidence going into Saturday night.
Tyler, last question for me, buddy, and I appreciate you joining. We look at Jeremy Pruitt. He signs an extension yesterday. It gets announced today. From year one to when he was just taking over, and you've known Jeremy Pruitt for so long, coming from the South, we both know where he came up from at different ranks. And how would you say the difference has been between where he started to where he's at right now? Do you think he has made those strides that are needed as a head coach in the Southeastern Conference?
I've seen some growth, and I certainly see some trust with his team, with his players, that wasn't there a couple of years ago. This is a guy, the only person that I have seen that is more obsessed with the process than him is Nick Saban. And obviously he comes from that tree. Jeremy Pruitt loves football. And there aren't a whole lot of other things outside of his family that Jeremy Pruitt has interest in. He doesn't have a lot of hobbies. He's not going to get away from football and not think about it. He just is obsessed with it all of the time. And I think that he's tried to find as many people that are obsessed with it, that play for his team, that aren't ever going to cut corners. There is not a whole lot in common between a Butch Jones player and a Jeremy Pruitt player. And because of that, I think that's why they went through so much hardship for a year and a half. But to his credit, they got as close to it falling apart as it could without it falling apart, and now he's seen the other side of it. And now he's got a bunch of young, talented players that have experience that are Pruitt kids, and now recruiting is going really well. And if this team is as good as a lot of us think they are, and they win 7 games this year, they go 7-3, let's say, in a 10-game conference schedule in the most difficult stretch you're ever going to play, given the unique circumstances, if they go 7-3 and they're one of the top 15 teams in the country, top 20 teams, which I think is realistic, then you're going to see a program in 2021 that is going to be a legitimate contender, not only to get to Atlanta, but to win once they get there. I'd be a little surprised if they knocked off a Florida and or a Georgia this year and got to Atlanta. I wouldn't be shocked, but next year I would almost expect it. And it's pretty wild that we're sitting here at this point now, given the way that September started last year.
Taylor Zarzur of SEC Network will be on the call for the Vols in South Carolina on Saturday night. And kind of wrapping up here, Taylor, you know, you talk about Jeremy Pruitt and the progress the program has made under him. On the other side, you've got Will Muschamp, and it just feels like two programs headed in different directions. Bit of a hot seat there in Columbia. Understand there's a big buyout there, but the folks that we've talked to in Columbia the past week or so, not exactly projecting an air of confidence from the South Carolina side of things right now. How do you think that plays in just the overall vibe around the two programs headed into the game Saturday?
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest question mark heading into the game. It's the thing that is most fascinating to me about these programs is Will Muschamp trying to get his program to the next level. I would say this. I think Will is a great defensive football coach, and he has littered the National Football League with talent on the defensive side of the ball as a head coach and as a defensive coordinator. and he did it again this year with Javon Kinlaw. His ability to identify talent and get the most out of it on that side of the ball has been terrific. I think he has swung and missed several times with his offensive coordinators. And now he's brought in a guy that has so much experience playing the position, coaching that side of the ball in the SEC in Mike Bobo to try to resurrect this offense. And Bobo's bringing with him Colin Hill, who was his quarterback at Colorado State. He has not had any kind of consistent success at a quarterback spot as the head coach at Florida or the head coach at South Carolina. Maybe he finally gets it with a graduate transfer player in Colin Hill, but there is no question that is the big question mark going into the year for Muschamp. If he can find some consistent performance from his quarterback, they were terrible on third down, out of the top 100 in the country, terrible in the red zone, out of the top 100 in the country, and they didn't possess the football very long, outside the top 100 in the country. I mean, just abysmal last year, and that's why they ended up going 4-8. Their defense was pretty strong. I mean, they had a 7-8 win team if you had any kind of consistent performance on offense. And I do. I think in a normal set of circumstances, Will Muschamp would have to have a winning record this year, have to get to maybe 8 wins, something like that, to keep his job. But it's not a normal set of circumstances because, as you referenced, the financial issues South Carolina is dealing with as a school and on top, and his buyout. And on top of that, guys, with as much money as all these schools are going to lose because they're not playing 12 or 13 or 14 games, it just makes me wonder if a guy like Muschamp, barring an absolute disastrous season, if he wins 4 or 5 games this year, is that enough to bring him back? Because they don't want to be in such tremendous debt for years to come. That'll be a not just with Muschamp. I think that's a fascinating storyline to follow with a hot seat all across the country this year.
No doubt. Taylor, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Last thing, give me some more insight into a young Trey Wallace. Is he as quirky and weird then as he is now?
Big NASCAR guy. it was, I mean, just even in Mobile, Alabama, always wanted to make it clear that he could give us a segment on the Tennessee Volunteers.
Okay.
If anybody ever got tired of talking about Alabama.
Sure, a lot of demand for Tennessee talk down in Mobile, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's people are clamoring for it, yeah. But he just wanted to make it clear that he always could give us a segment on that. No, Trey's the best. Salt of the earth guy and good member of the Mobile Mafia, as
we say. How about that? All right. There you go, Trey.
Good. Hey, he knows I love him. He knows I love him. And even though we're in COVID protocols, I'm probably still going to sneak a hug in on him on Saturday night. So we're all good. And
I'm sure a big fan of the Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin race team now, too.
Thank you. Exactly, Taylor. This has been such a good week, man.
Don't get him started. It's all he's been talking about. All right, Taylor, have a great call. Make it 10-0 Saturday night, please. Could you do that for us?
We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. Last time they put us in prime time, we went 7 overtime. So we might be on the air for a while on Saturday night.
I do a post-game show as soon as it's over right here on Fan Run Radio. I'm already planning on being here till 2 in the morning. I'll be walking out of here as the sun's coming up, if that's the case.
There we go. Nice. Hey, man, I've missed college football so much. That's good. That's fine with me.
Good point. Yeah, good point. We can make it work. Thanks, Taylor. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, boys.
Taylor Zarzur, you'll hear him on the call for Tennessee, South Carolina, Saturday night in Columbia. That was a ringing endorsement of a young Trey Wallace as well. How about that?
I didn't think he'd go the NASCAR talk thing.
Take a quick break right here. When, by the way, as we head to break, I remind you all guests appear via the G3 Help Me hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team help you get the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Our phone number, if you want to jump in, is 865-546-8200. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Russell Bear and Trey wrapping up on a Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. It'll be a football Friday tomorrow. Oh, oh man, that feels good to say. Please get through these COVID tests, Tennessee. Please get through this. South Carolina, you too. We got to see a football game Friday night. We don't need a Houston situation here in Knoxville. Wrapping up, let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Roberto is next. Good afternoon, Roberto. Oh, man, you know football's just around the corner, and Roberto's calling in again.
Long a time no talkie, boys.
Yeah, man, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, same. Hope you guys are, too. Really loved your interview a minute ago with intern Trey's former boss. Get on that.
Good stuff.
Yep. You know, the reason I'm calling in is it finally felt like football this morning as a Tennessee fan, but sadly it's drab, dreary, overcast, cold, and rainy. And I don't know if that says anything about Tennessee football of late, but it felt like football this morning to me.
Hey, man, it's a little chilly out. We're giving away questionable raises again. We're back.
Yes.
We're back.
Yes. Oh, God. You know, I don't know if you know this, every Thursday night during season, I mix up some of my grandpa's good white liquor and some additives to it to make it taste a little better. And that's what I do every Thursday night of the season. I'm gearing up right now. So it's been I don't know, it just feels like football. But really one of the reasons for my call was I haven't heard anything today. Has anything at all changed on the Cade Bates situation at all?
No news today. Trey just sent a tweet from Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. Kentucky coach Mark Stoops said just now that he's, quote, not optimistic to get a decision on Joey Gatewood's waiver before the team boards the plane to Auburn. So that's, you know, they're going through the same thing up there.
Well, moreover, I'm just trying to figure out if it's ever going to happen this season or if it's just or Sankey's just going to wait until after we play Alabama and then do it then, because you know that's what's happening, right? We want to play Georgia and Alabama, right? And he gets his two favorites, not play, you know, or maybe it's we get him after Georgia because we play, you know, we don't play him against her. I don't know how all this is working. It's ridiculous. If the NCAA clearinghouse clears you, you should be able to play immediately. And the SEC is trying to be a big tough guy, and Sankey is just so in the pockets of Georgia and Alabama. It's disgusting to watch as a fan of a program that's not Georgia or Alabama. Can we all get on that?
There's no doubt Greg Sankey has laid down on the mat to do the J-O-B for Bama and Georgia this summer. It's been despicable.
Do you think it's because they got him his two playoff teams playing for a national championship a couple years back? Do you think that's when that happened?
Well, of course.
Being sincere, like, I don't know.
But he wants it to happen again.
Right.
So
and that's, you
it's
know,
a money thing.
I don't know if Georgia's his best hope for that this year, to be frank with you, Russ.
Well, on paper, they are. But, I mean, you might be right. But, yeah, he it's a money thing. He wants to make as much money for his league as possible, which I suppose on some level is commendable. But it doesn't do a lot for those of us, like Tennessee, have been down and trying to get back up.
Well, it's like somebody said it the other day, and I can't remember who it was I heard, but they said it's like with this transfer thing inside the conference, what happens does is it hurts the lesser than, and right now, sadly, I mean, Tennessee's a lesser than. They're not Georgia.
Sure.
They're not Alabama. They're not Auburn. They're not LSU. They're not even Florida right now. They're not. We're a lesser than those schools, and Auburn for that matter. And we're going to be hurt more by that than those other teams are going to be helped by keeping Cade Mays, or not necessarily Cade Mays, but like say a really good third teamer for them that would start for another team that's a lesser than in the SEC. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's just going to hurt the lesser thans more and more and more, and it will drive more disparity in the conference, and it's going to make for bad football.
That's a good point.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. You too, Roberto. Good to hear from you this afternoon. Yeah, I think he's right. I think it does hurt the lesser thans. Like, Georgia, there's no drop off, man. They're just going to plug in another 4 or 5 star and keep rolling right along. Whereas
that all along, that's why they don't want it, man. Because they know that all these 4 and 5 stars that they stack up every year, those kids are going to go looking for someplace where they can get on the field and show their stuff.
Well,
and that's going to be the first place they're going to look is the, you know, Tennessee's. Who else would I put in that category? Probably, honestly, Auburn, Tennessee.
Kentucky,
Ole Miss, definitely
the three teams that it's happening to right now.
Yeah,
it's not a theory. It's not like, oh, this might happen. It's happening. This is it. This is Alabama, Georgia, getting their way with the league office to hold other programs down, and it doesn't sound like there's much we can do about it. We sit here and whine about it, which we have done for 2 days now, but it doesn't sound like it's going to change. You just have to go out there and find a way to break through anyway. I like how Sankey acts like he's so handcuffed by the rules. I wonder how much he was paying attention to the rule book this summer when he was making up that schedule. When he was wheeling and dealing by the seat of his pants, yeah, just doing whatever.
What are you talking
wanted.
About? He didn't make that schedule up. Nick Saban dictated it to him.
Well, exactly. Was he worried about
make anything up?
Was he worried about having a consensus among member institutions at that point? Wonder what Arkansas feels like. How much their voice was listened to in that process?
Probably not at all. I also found it curious that Kirby Dumb basically said, when he was asked about the whole deal yesterday with Cade, that verbatim the same thing that Sankey said. I mean, they got on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, man. Tennessee will have a walkthrough in the morning, sometime mid-morning, that I'm told they're supposed to be hopping on a plane around 1, 2 o'clock and head to Columbia, so... If it doesn't come out this evening and then come out first thing in the morning.
No, Cade ain't playing Saturday.
It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it.
I don't think he's going to play this year, man. I've done a 180 on it. I felt very confident about it a week ago. I don't feel very confident at all right now.
I don't feel optimistic anymore.
All right, boys.
What a
positive note to end on, huh? We're still going to kick the crap out of South Carolina. It's what we do. It's going to happen. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. Voluntary reaction is back as soon as the game's over. There's a lot to look forward to, folks. Bear, we good here?
Yeah.
Trey, we good?
Yeah, hopefully I'll be talking to you guys tomorrow from Columbia.
Sounds good. Travel safe, my friend. Big thanks to Drew Nicholson, all his hard work in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios this afternoon. That's going to do it for us. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.